Assemble on the mountain. We shall assemble at the throne with humble hearts into his presence. We bring an offering of song, glory and honor and dominion unto the Lamb, unto the King. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We sing the song of the redeemed. One more time, sing right out. We shall assemble on the mountain. We shall assemble at the throne with humble hearts into his presence. We bring an offering of song, glory and honor and dominion unto the Lamb, unto the King. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We sing the song of the redeemed. Please be seated.
Good morning, church. It's good to see everybody here this morning. Oh, it's great to see everybody here this morning. Yes, indeed. We have a lot of visitors with us today, but we have a lot of our home crowd gone today. So we're so glad that you're with us today. Keeps our numbers about the same. It's great to see you today. I want to just mention our QR code that we have up on the screen now. If you want to take your phone and just look at that and get information about our church or ask us questions or say, hey, I want to be a member here, whatever, we would love for you to do that. Also, if you're visiting with us today and you've never been with us before, one of the things we do in our worship assembly is our children have an offering. That offering is to buy Bibles for our mission work and for our prison ministry and so forth. Your children are welcome to participate in that. In fact, anyone is welcome to participate in that. If you want to get up and drop a little money into that little can that they'll be holding, that's great. But you're under no obligation to do that. Also, we will have a time when we'll dismiss some of our children to children's church, and it's about that time in our service, and we'll announce about that as well. We want you to understand, if you're visiting with us, that you're under no obligation to give. However, for all of you, I want you to know that we're still using the baskets as you exit the auditorium for the regular contribution. So if you want to give, please give. But if you're visiting, please don't feel like you're under obligation to do that. We also, when we get to our Lord's Supper, our communion time, everyone that would like to participate is welcome to do so. If you didn't pick up a packet for your communion time with us, we'll be distributing that as we begin that part of our service, and we'll announce that when we come to that time. I just want to say briefly that this morning's sermon is in parts. We will do first a time of focusing on the Lord's Supper and Jesus' death during that period of time, and that'll be part of the sermon this morning. And then after that, and after we dismiss the kids, then we're going to focus on the resurrection, and that'll also be a part of the sermon. And we'll intertwine songs in part of that. So just wanted you to be aware of that. Partly because I don't want you leaving before I finish the sermon, you know, thinking, well, he said the sermon, I'm leaving now, because we do have a part one and a part two, and I want you to know about that. Would you bow with me and let's pray? Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to come together, to be here as your children, as people dedicated to live our lives in the will that you have given us. And we ask, Father, you'll help us to do that. We know we're weak and we make mistakes. We have sins in our life, and we're so grateful for our Savior who gave his life that our sins will be forgiven. But we want to give our lives in a productive pursuit of your mission. And we ask, Father, that you'll bless us in doing that. And may our worship today be pleasing in your sight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You want to do meet and greet? All righty, we're going to take a few minutes. Stand up. If you see somebody you don't know or somebody you do know you haven't seen in a while, hug their neck and tell them we serve a risen Savior, and it's going to be a good day, and we'll be back for another song in just a moment. Meet and greet for a few minutes. All right, let's begin our worship service, please.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for thy Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every sin. Hallelujah, thine the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Sung again, sing right out. All glory and praise to the God of all grace, who has bought us and sought us and guided our ways. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again. Revive us again, fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us us again.
Please be seated.
Thank you, Rusty. One of the most important things for us to remember as we come into communion this morning is to remember that everything that happened with Jesus was exactly what God had planned to happen. That's hard to imagine, that God would know what would happen to his son and what he would be going through, and that he could allow that to happen. But it was for us. It was for us. That's how much God loved us. And it's hard to imagine that Jesus would know exactly what was going to happen to him, and yet it would be something that would hurt him, that would torture his soul so much that he would pray to God that if there might be another way, that it be done that way. And he prayed, "Not my will, but thy will be done." But he knew what he was facing, and yet he went through with it. So as we approach the communion this morning and we sing the next song about why did my Savior come, it's important for us to understand that he did it for us. God did it for us, and it was in full fulfillment of the prophecies that were given. I'd like to read from Isaiah 53 if you want to follow along in your own Bibles. Isaiah 53, this is a prophecy about Jesus becoming the Lamb of God for us. Remember in the Old Testament, on the night that Jesus is portrayed as leading the people of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, you may not think that that's what's happening, but Jesus goes before the people. Even then, Jesus was present. And the Passover lamb was offered, and the blood was put on the doorpost to allow God to pass over those who were obedient to his will. Even back then, God's prophecy about Jesus was being fulfilled. Isaiah 53, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. We all are like sheep who have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that was led to the slaughter, like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people, that they may make his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death? And although he has done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him, and it put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring, and he shall prolong his days, and the will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied, and by his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted as righteous. And he shall bear their iniquities, and therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he has poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many and made intercession for their transgressions.
my Savior come to earth, and to the humble go. Why did he choose a lowly birth? Because he loved me so. He loved me so. He loved me so. He gave his precious life for me, because why did he drink the bitter cup of sorrow, pain, and woe? Why on the cross be lifted up? Because he loved me so. He loved me so. He loved me so. He gave his precious life for me, because he loved. Till Jesus comes, I'll sing his praise, and then to glory go, and reign with him through endless days, because he loved me so. He loved me so. He loved me so. He gave his precious life for me, because he loved.
We're about to enter into our communion time. If the gentlemen who are going to pass out the packets, would you please come? And if you need one, just raise your hand and they'll see that you get one. What I'm going to say the next few minutes may surprise some of you. And if it encourages the study more, well, that's fine too. You don't have to agree with me to get the meaning of what I'm saying. But it is my conviction that what Jesus took as the Last Supper was not the Passover. And you may have heard that it is, and that's fine. It is my belief that he was eating the Last Supper on the day of preparation. And I think that can be substantiated in the Bible. On the 14th of the first month of the Jewish calendar, a lamb, the Passover lamb, would be killed. Of course, each family would have their sacrifices that they would offer, but a lamb would be killed for the nation of Israel. The day of the calendar day begins at sunset. It's somewhat like our day beginning at midnight. We don't think of the night as being the next day, but it is. In the Jewish calendar, the night, the beginning at sunset, roughly 6 o'clock, as they would see their time, they would begin the new day. The 14th would have began on the night before, which in my estimation would have been Wednesday night. And Jesus met with his apostles, and he did not take the Passover with him, but he took with them what was to be the fulfillment of the Passover. In the Passover Seder, as we call it, the meal, it would actually happen the next night. after the lamb was killed, because the killing of the lamb and the eating of the lamb would be a part of the Passover the next day. That was not a part of what Jesus did. And Jesus took two elements of what's associated with the Passover, and he applied them to himself. And he's telling his apostles that on the next day, when normally they would eat the Passover meal, he is the fulfillment of the sacrifice. What people often forget is part of the Passover is a full week, actually 8 days, of celebration of unleavened bread. The unleavened bread symbolized to the people of Israel of God gathering them together to become a nation. That bread symbolized them leaving the slavery of Egypt and traveling to the promised land to become God's people as a nation. And that every year, along with the Passover, they would keep the week of unleavened bread in memory of that. The blood, of course, of the lamb, representing the Passover lamb, and the unleavened bread, representing the gathering of the people to be the people of God. Jesus gathers with his apostles, and first he begins with the bread. And he tells them to eat of it because it represents his body. In fact, in Matthew chapter 26, verse 26, Jesus said, "Take and eat of this is my body." And he broke it and gave it to his disciples. In fulfillment of John 1:29, where John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And Paul later, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, he calls Jesus the Passover Lamb that has been sacrificed for us. When we take of the bread here in a moment, we are taking the Lamb of God who was given for not escape from Egypt slavery, but from the slavery of sin and death. And Jesus wants us to remember that as we take of this bread, what it represents. So as we take this, we will sing the first verse of Lamb of God. And then we'll come back and we'll take the juice and remember what it means. Would you bow with me as we pray for the bread? Our Heavenly Father, we pray for the realization that what the Passover represented to the Jewish people, Jesus was the fulfillment. The unleavened bread, the commitment of living our lives as the people of God, without sin, holy in his sight, a holy nation, a royal priesthood given unto God. May we remember as we eat of this bread that Jesus gave his body so that we might be that people. He allowed his body to be placed upon that cross until death for us so that we might be free of our sins. And that we might be called together to be his people, his church, his holy people, to do his mission in the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Your only Son, no sin to hide, but you have led him from your side to walk upon this guilty sod and to become a Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God.
Next, Jesus took the cup. And he explained to them, as he gave it to each of them, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." In the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us a kingdom, priest, and to God the Father, and to him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord Jesus Christ, it is to you that we give the honor. We do not deserve what we're about to participate in. We do not deserve the Holy Lamb, the blood shed for us. We do not deserve to have our sins forgiven. We do not deserve to be able to even pray this prayer in your presence. We're sinful. We're unholy. What we fail to do in our lives, in our righteous deeds, we commit by our ungodly thoughts and the wickedness of our tongue. How can we even begin to think that we have a right to be in your presence, much less to participate in a remembrance of how Jesus loved us so much that he gave his precious blood on the cross for us? Forgive us. Forgive us because we need a Savior. And thanks be to God and the Lord Jesus Christ that we have a Savior in the blood of the Lamb. We pray this in his name, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Your gift of love they crucified. They laughed and scorned him as he died. The humble king they named a frog, and sacrificed the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in his precious blood. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. I was so lost, I should have died, but you have brought me to your side. To be led by your staff and rod, and to be called the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the oh, wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. Crown you now with many crowns, you reign victorious. High and lifted up, Jesus, Son of God, the darling of heaven crucified, worthy is the for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for the love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. Crown you now, he crowns you, reign victorious, high and lifted up, Jesus, Son of God, the darling of heaven crucified. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb.
Good morning. Before we do our giving, we wanted to go ahead and announce a couple people. Some of you may be aware of, some of you may not, but in our children's ministry program, one of the things that we're working with our kids on doing is memorizing scriptures. Now, there's the short ones that many of you guys have remembered, and then there's some really long ones. Well, our kids have memorized some really long ones like the Lord's Prayer, and Psalm 23. And so the ones that have memorized the Lord's Prayer is Emery, Edie, Aubrey, Morgan, Harper, Evie, James, and Claire. And then Psalm 23 was Amy, Harper, and Evie. So if you guys want to give a round of applause for them. So they're working hard. You guys, all of you kiddos, keep it up. And if maybe if some of you adults want to learn those too, come see me, read it off to me, and I'll give you a prize if you do it, okay? So we'll have our children's giving today, and then we'll our kids will be dismissed. Those that are three years old up to five, up to our worship warriors, and it's right upstairs. So if you don't know where it is, you're visiting, just follow the teams of moms and kids running out. So, all right. Jesus is Lord, my Redeemer. How he loves me, How I love him. He is risen. He is coming. Lord, come quickly. Alleluia. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege is to carry everything to God in prayer. Alleluia. 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 Alleluia.
All right, is it going to stay? All right. Wasn't that exciting to see all those kids? It's awesome. All right, and that's pretty good memory work too. That's a big section of scripture. Okay, I'm gonna talk to you now about a little bit of detail. You may have thought, well, why did he make a big deal about when Jesus was taking the Last Supper, and why did he try to make it sound like it wasn't a big deal if he was making a big deal about it, right? So let me tell you a little bit about that. I want us to think about when Jesus was raised from the dead. And I think it's important that we consider when it was. Because Jesus had said, I'm going to be in the grave 3 days and three nights. If you hold to the idea of Friday night was the night that Jesus died, and that he was in the grave, you have to really strain a little bit to make it 3 days and three nights for Jesus to be raised Sunday morning before the sunrise. And that's part of the reason why I wanted to emphasize that I think what Jesus was doing was before the Passover. In fact, Jesus, if you'll remember now, that the day starts at sunset. So what we think of as being Friday would begin Thursday night. And the Passover was to be on the 15th. The day of preparation ran from Wednesday night through Thursday up until sunset. The lamb would be killed, the Passover lamb would be killed on that day, on the 14th, leading up to the sunset. Before the sunset, the lamb would be killed. Jesus died at the time when that lamb was being killed. Jesus was the fulfillment of the Lamb of God. Jesus was the Passover lamb. And Jesus' body, remember, the urgency was to get Jesus off the cross, all the people off the crosses, before Sabbath. And they didn't want to become unclean so that they were unclean for the Sabbath. Remember that Passover is a special Sabbath. We're not talking about the weekly Sabbath there. We're talking about the Passover Sabbath. They wanted to get that done so that they could go on and take the Passover meal. And then the next day, which starts Friday night and then goes into the day on Saturday, is the Sabbath also, the weekly Sabbath. So you have two Sabbath days in a row leading up to Sunday. One of the things that is forgotten sometimes in thinking about the Passover is the fact that the week of unleavened bread was going on at the same time. And part of the week of unleavened bread is the offering of the first fruits. The first fruits is to happen after the Sabbath. Normally, with the Passover, you would have, which is on the 15th, you would have on the 16th, the offering of the first fruits offering. But with a Sabbath day, a weekly Sabbath day following Passover, you wait another day. That pushes the offering for the first fruits to Sunday. And you say, well, why is that important? Well, let me tell you why I think it's important. If you have your Bibles with you, read with me from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12 through 28. It says, now, if Christ is so proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testify about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you're still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. And if in Christ we have our hope in this life only, we are of all people the most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, and then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every ruler and every authority and every power. For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he has accepted those who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him, who puts all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all. What I want you to particularly see in this is twice he uses the words first fruits. Christ is the first fruits of those who have been dead. Now, if you read that and make it mean only that Jesus was the first one to come alive from the dead, that's a little bit puzzling, because you have to think about Lazarus. What about other people that Jesus raised from the dead? What about people in the Old Testament that came back to life from the dead? Is that all that Paul is saying about Jesus here? That he's the first one to come alive? He's the first resurrected? And some might say, well, he's talking about he's the first one to be resurrected that doesn't have to die again. And you could make that argument. But again, is that the point? And if that's the point, why didn't he just say he is the first one? Why say first fruits? Now, you may think, now David is just speculating. And I may be. But if what I'm saying is right about the Feast of Weeks, the Week of Unleavened Bread, the Passover, the Day of Preparation, so forth, if I'm right about that timing, Jesus was raised on the Day of First Fruits. And Jesus is our first fruit offering to God. He came before God as our first fruits offering. And you might say, well, what is that? Well, remember, in offering the first fruits offering during the week of unleavened bread, it was not that you held back a tenth. That's a different thing. It wasn't a free will fellowship offering. That's a different thing. It wasn't even putting aside the best for God. That's not what this offering was. This offering, the first fruits offering during the week of unleavened bread, was whatever you got first in your harvest. No matter what it looked like, how scrawny it was, or how great it was, your first fruits offering belonged to God. And you gave it to God in the hope that God will bless you and you would have more harvest. That if this is all I get, if this is all I have, if this is all my crop is going to produce, it's yours, God. Whether I get any more or not. If it's a bad year, we're not getting any rain, and I don't know if anything else is coming in, but this is yours, God. The first fruits belong to you. It's offered in hope. And the first fruits offering of Jesus being raised from the dead is the first fruit of hope. Notice what he says in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, if Jesus has not been raised from the dead, we're of all people most to be pitied. If we have put our hope in Jesus Christ, and he uses the word hope, if we have put our hope in Jesus' resurrection from the dead, and there is no resurrection, what hope is there? We're of all people most to be pitied. But Jesus offered himself as the first fruits harvest to God, the offering to God that says, this is your hope. The resurrection is your hope. Believing in me is your hope. He wasn't just the first to raise from the dead that would never die again. He was the first coming forth as our offering to God, saying, this is for the hope of the people. When you put that together, not only is it a prophecy that is fulfilled in Jesus, which adds to the validity of the Word of God, that everything that God did in the Old Testament was leading up to Christ. Even the first fruits offering was leading up to Jesus Christ. The Passover was leading up to Christ. The week of unleavened bread was leading up to Christ. Everything was leading to Christ. Christ was the fulfillment. And Christ is the fulfillment of our hope. There is no hope if Jesus was not raised from the dead. Listen to these passages. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that he has given us. Paul goes on to explain that just at the right time, Jesus died for us that we might be saved. That is our hope that he raised from the dead. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Look at how Paul begins this scripture about the resurrection and the return of Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 4. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others who do not have hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by the word from the Lord, that we are who are alive and left until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry and a command, with the voice of the archangel and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then those who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. And he closes this section with, therefore encourage one another with these words. Why are they encouragement? Why are they comfort? Because hope. Because we have hope. He begins this section by saying, I write this to you not as to people who have no hope. Because those who don't believe in Jesus, those who don't understand his death for you and the resurrection from the dead, they don't have hope, but you have hope. And because Jesus was raised from the grave, you have hope. You see how significant this is? You know, you don't have to believe the timetable that I have given you today. It's not going to change the basic facts. Whether you believe the Last Supper was on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, it's not going to change the fact of what the Last Supper represents, of what we do in our communion. What you believe about when Jesus died, maybe you don't believe he died at the time that the Passover lamb was being sacrificed. You still believe he died, and you believe he died on the cross for your sins, and that's what's important. You don't have to buy into my timetable. You don't have to buy into the idea of there being two Sabbaths. First the Passover Sabbath and then the Sabbath day. You still believe that he died and he was buried. And he stayed in the grave until he came forth from the grave, triumphant over death, victorious. And you don't have to believe that Jesus' resurrection from the grave was a first fruits offering to God to believe that Jesus was raised from the grave. But if this is true, if what I've laid out for you today is true, not only do you believe the fundamentals of the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but you believe that the Bible is written in such a way to point out that in every aspect of Old Testament prophecy, both what's literally written about him and what's in symbolic form is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ has the right to be your Savior. He has the right to be your Lord, your King. And what it really helps us to understand is why that baptism is so significant. It's not a ritual. It's not a cute thing that we do when we confess our faith and we're dipped in water. Baptism into the death of Jesus and into the burial of Jesus and into the resurrection of Jesus is a declaration of our faith. A faith that is built on not what we think or what we wish will happen, but it is a fact that is pronounced in the Word of God as the fulfillment of the role of Jesus Christ coming to this world and is being raised from the dead. And that, brothers and sisters, is our hope. A hope that we stand ready to share with other people who have no hope. A story that makes sense when you put it in the context of all that God did to build up to the right time for Jesus to give himself in a sacrificial offering to God for us. This morning, we celebrate Easter. Every Sunday morning, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. Every Sunday morning, we take communion and we remember Jesus' death for us. Every Sunday morning, we celebrate the fact that what Jesus did for us was because he loved us. And he did not want us to remain in sin. But not only that, not only did he want to take away our sins, but Jesus died on the cross because he wanted to give us hope. I don't want to live a moment of my life without hope. The greatest thing, the greatest gift that Jesus has given me while I am alive is knowing that my sins have been forgiven and the hope of life everlasting. And without faith in Jesus, I have neither. I have no claim to the forgiveness that's on the cross, and I have no claim to the hope that's in the resurrection. So today we celebrate, like we celebrate every Sunday, we celebrate the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. Because it is the hope of the world. I'm going to close with this. You can say what you want about this. You may say it's terrible. You may say the Holy Spirit revealed it. I don't know. But I worked and worked on this sermon, but this came at 2 o'clock in the morning and woke me up. A giant stone was rolled into place, closing in the darkness of man's sin, sealing death's door and the world's hope. But after 3 days and three nights, on that glorious morn, the stone rolled away, and the first fruits of hope was born. Like the stone to the head of a giant, the stone rolled away, and death could not keep him prey. Like a stone falling from condemning hands, the stone rolled away, and go and sin no more had a way. Like a stone of weakness and denial, the stone rolled away, and restored, the rock had a say. Like the stone of stumbling and offense, the stone rolled away, and he became the chief cornerstone. For after 3 days and three nights, on that glorious morn, the stone rolled away, and the first fruits of hope was born. Let us pray. Dear God, our Father, blessed Jesus, our Lord and Savior, thank you for our hope through the resurrection. And the church said, amen. Let's stand and let's sing like we believe it, okay?
He lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty, he arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints too. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Vainly they watch his bed, Jesus, my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus, my Lord. from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph. He arose up. Lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose. Hallelujah, Christ arose. Death cannot keep his prey. Jesus, my He tore Jesus, my Lord, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives. Saints to reign, he arose, he arose. Hallelujah, Christ arose.
And all of God's people said, Amen. Linda, if you would move to the last song, In Christ Alone. If you would remain standing while we sing this song, and then we'll have some closing remarks from one of our shepherds. Sing right out. Thank you so much this morning for your song.
In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love, righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied forever. On him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slay. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bond with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to find, Jesus commands my death.
I want to thank everyone for being here today.
We hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and uplifted by gathering here this morning with the saints to worship our God. If you're visiting here today, you honor us with your presence. We're so glad that you came and ask that you please come back any opportunity that you can. Have one announcement. Tuesday night at 5:30, the Duracells will be meeting across the street, and Doug Savine will be bringing that presentation at that time. Rusty, thank you. Great job. David, thank you for bringing this day to our remembrance. Not just this day, but every day in our lives. We serve a risen Savior. Need to remember that. Will you bow with me, please? Father, we praise you this morning for your power, your presence, and your purpose in our lives. I want to thank you for so many ways that you bless us, but the greatest blessing of your Son, who came to this earth, who lived, who died, was resurrected, and through Jesus we have forgiveness, we have freedom, we have the ability to walk with you through this fallen world. Father, we pray that we would keep our eyes on you in a world that seems increasingly dark each day. Father, we walk by faith and not by sight. And would ask that you would give us wisdom to see the way, the courage to go your way, the strength and perseverance, Father, to finish the race. We pray that we'd boldly go into this community and tell others the only solution to the evils of this world is the gospel. Father, we ask now that you continue to forgive us of our sins. We know we fall short. Father, we're thankful that forgiveness is not something we earn or achieve, but it's come to us through a gift, a free gift of your blood, of Jesus Christ's blood on that cross. Father, as we go through life, we need to continue to remember that. Father, we want to thank you for our families being here today with us. We want to ask you, if you would, Father, surround us with godly men and godly women, full of and led by the Holy Spirit. We ask, Father, that you bring your healing power unto those who are sick, those who are having difficulties, those that are struggling. We know when we are heartbroken, you are always near. Father, we pray for our nation. We pray for our leaders. We pray for the leaders around the world, Father, that they would look to you, Father, and that be no more killing. And we pray for peace. Father, I want to thank you, Father, for the cross. Thank you for the stone that was rolled away in the open tomb. And thank you for the greatest story ever told. Father, we pray this thing in the name, pray this prayer in the name of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who overcame death and opened the door for us for everlasting life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.